Welcome to the GeoMob Podcast, where we discuss geo-innovation in any and all forms, whether for fun or profit.
Welcome to another GeoMob Podcast. This morning, it's my great pleasure to invite Dean Pawley, Head of Data Products at Ordnance Survey, to join us on the podcast. A couple of weeks ago, maybe even only a week ago, Ordnance Survey launched roof data. And when they launched this, they talked about generating this data with machine learning. And it seemed very interesting when we looked at some of the use cases that they were mentioning. So I thought we'd get Dean on the podcast and ask him to, first of all, tell us how they made it and then tell us why they made it. But before we do that, Dean, welcome to the GeoMob podcast. There's thousands of people out there who want to hear from you. So start off by just introducing yourself and what you do at Ordnance Survey and your background a little bit.
Yeah, thank you, Stephen. And thank you for having me along. So as you say, I'm Dean Pawley. I head up our data product team here at Ordnance Survey. So a few of our listeners this morning probably know we've got quite a lot of products that we at Ordnance Survey make. So there's about 60 of those. So it's my responsibility with my team here to manage all of those for both our public sector and partner community. Like you say, we've had some really exciting releases lately, so looking forward to chatting through that with you today. And then, yeah, a bit of background on me. I've actually been in Ordnance Survey now for almost a decade, which is a bit scary. Time flies. But before that, worked in local government, but always in the geospatial industry. So I've got about 15, just over sort of years in the geo industry.
Fantastic. So let's get straight to it. When you announced the roof day, is it roof or rooftop data?
It's about the roof. So
it's about the roof.
Let's say a bit more than rooftop, I guess.
Okay. So when you announced the roof data, the thing that caught my eye was that you generated this using machine learning with almost no manual intervention. And from what I understand, lots of previous efforts using machine learning have required quite a lot of manual intervention. So talk us through how you did that and what the differences were.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think just conceptually, if I start there, like the machine learning, and obviously I'm sure, again, a lot of the listeners will know how much that sort of those systems and those capabilities have really developed in the last few years. And I think what excites me actually is, again, like I say, I'm sure there's people that have got many more years than me, Stephen, but even in those 15 years or so that I've sort of been in the industry, I still think the last few years have been the most exciting. You can really see how tech is advancing. But yeah, like you say, going back to sort of the question, machine learning is something OS has always been keen on to explore. So a lot of people know, but just for a bit of background, we actually have a team of field surveyors. So every day, especially given today, it's a lovely summer's day out there, our field surveyors will go out and manually capture data. But we know the market is moving at a really quick pace. The desire for more data, quicker data, more current data is ever growing. So as you say, like, how do we meet that need? How do we really bring new and innovative ways of capturing data? Machine learning has to be one. So what essentially we've done, machine learning has, like I say, has been around within OS and we've been exploring it for a while. We actually first used it in March 2024, so just over a year ago, when we released some new data around land. So actually looking at how we classify land and looking at things like field boundaries. That was our first foray, if you like, into productionizing machine learning sort of techniques. But for roof data, though, what we've done is use the aerial imagery that Ordnance Survey flies. So we fly our own imagery data. So we fly about 80,000 kilometres every year with fixed-wing aircraft across GB. So probably an interesting topic for another day around the challenges that brings, especially around weather conditions and sort of air traffic control and that kind of thing. But we use our own data, so we're using that. So bringing that back into Ordnance Survey, and what we've done here is worked really hard. And I think it's about that upfront sort of techniques and the upfront time and effort you put into these machine learning algorithms to really train the models as well as we can. So we've got a lot of aerial imagery data, like I say, for the whole of Great Britain. We can look for pockets of information that maybe gives us variability. So I think one of the challenges of machine learning is you can train a model really well. Let's think about the easiest rooftop I can think about, Stephen. Tiled roof. Predominantly what we see across the whole of Great Britain, somebody has a tiled roof. But if you train a model to look for quite a nice grey slate tiled roof, suddenly it doesn't really work very well for all the variability we have across Great Britain of that. Mm. Different materials, different colours, different weathering, all of that kind of stuff starts to throw your techniques off. So we invested a lot of time in trying to find different areas across the whole of Great Britain, rural, urban, that kind of different variability, as I say, to train our models to learn really well what we find in our imagery data. And then we could run that across. When we get more confident with that, new training models are really, really working, we can use that to start extracting this data that we're talking about. We still put a remote sensing team. So we have a remote sensing team at Ordnance Survey across that data once it comes out of the algorithms and machine learning techniques to really make sure it's as high quality as we can get. But that's ultimately what we're doing. So I guess, like I say, really putting a lot of effort into that upfront training is really the key for us.
So presumably, weather has an effect on the images that you capture initially, but also regionally, the roof tiles that we use vary quite a lot regionally, don't they?
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. So you're totally right. Imagery, how we capture that, really interesting. Like I say, we aim for about 80,000 kilometres every year, but that can go as high as something like 100,000 kilometres if we have a lovely summer. Like, that's really advantageous to us. We can struggle if the weather's really, really poor. But you're right, I was talking to the team only recently about this machine learning sort of techniques, and they were saying, actually, you'd be surprised to know, we'll even find things like terracotta slates across Great Britain. So again, if you think about the variability of what does a terracotta slate look like from an imagery, from an image even flown by an aircraft versus, as you say, a slate roof, they're really different. So again, finding those pockets and training your algorithm on that, on the terracotta roof as well as you do on the slate roof is really important.
And I know that you captured information about solar panels on rooftops, but presumably now that you've got the algorithm trained and you may need to tweak it, in a year's time when you've got a year's new imagery, you can run the algorithm and identify how much change there's been in the adoption of solar panels.
Yeah, 100%. I think for me, if you think at the start thinking about some of the use cases, that's really, really powerful. So you can imagine both central and local government, for example, are really keen on adoption of net zero type energy systems, solar panel being one of those. So you're right, we know from what we've just released only a couple of weeks ago, as you said, that about 5% of our buildings across Great Britain have solar panels on them. So we know that now, as you say, Stephen, we'll actually keep that data up to date. So we'll, as we get new imagery data flown, we rerun the algorithms, we look for those changes, as you say, those changes roll out into our product. We actually are on a daily frequency. We obviously don't process all our imagery data daily, but as that flows through, we release those updates to our customers. So absolutely, we could be sat here 12 months' time and we go, well, we know it was 5% in March 2025, what is it in March 2026? And right, we can start tracking that over time.
Okay. So is 40 million rooftops all the roofs in Britain?
It's all the buildings in Britain. So it's interesting. Okay. It's interesting, isn't it, how you have sort of these conversations. And again, I think they're quite interesting to listeners of this and the wider community. So we've definitely gone for buildings. So there are obviously, depending on how somebody wants to define a rooftop, you might find structures like in and around different areas, which we wouldn't necessarily classify as a building rooftop. So what we're really, in that 40 million, what we're after there are the residential buildings that you and I would live at. And the non-domestic buildings. So I'm in our office today, so a roof that's on top of this office, for example.
Okay. So basically it's all the roofs of the buildings, what we generally consider buildings. Whether a barn in a field is a building or not, we won't even go there.
Exactly that.
Right. Okay, so why? Why?
Yeah, why is a really interesting bit, right? Especially for me, in terms of being a product background, we always have that use case or customer in mind. So it's something that we've been asked for quite a lot from our customers. We at OS, if you look about how our product is evolving, we're really trying to break into more of that space of data-rich sort of attribution that we can attach to buildings. And primarily, I'll give you a bit of a selection. Obviously, there's way more than this in terms of use cases. But first and foremost, I think I would call out sort of our blue light community. So whether that's fire service or beyond that, fire is probably a really pertinent one for this. So if you think about really understanding, as you said, we sort of talked about solar there. I talked about identifying roof material when we were talking about machine learning. So I'm really knowing, is the roof made out of slate? Okay, that carries a certain fire risk. But you can imagine materials like thatch, which we also identify. Thatch contains a much bigger fire risk. And so for people like the blue light services, really understanding risk and what they might be turning up to if they've got a call out to a fire, really, really important to them. So very much targeted to help their use cases. Relevant to that, if I then flip and go, what about a commercial type use case? Insurance and financial services. So your insurers, as we all insure our homes, again, understanding things like, have you got a thatch roof? Maybe you've got a glass roof. Think about the office I'm in, for example. Again, really understanding more about that building is really, really important to them. And then I guess lastly, if I just use a third example, we touched on it earlier, but local and central government are really keen on understanding a bit, exactly as you said, Stephen, like, how are we doing? How are we doing on rolling out net zero type initiatives? Maybe they've introduced new policies or new incentive schemes in certain areas. So how big of an impact are they having? Like, having a baseline of data that then you can monitor from, super important, right? Because then you know if those incentives are having the impact that you want or not. So I think they're probably the top three I'd go for. But like I say, lots of applications across both public sector and our sort of commercial markets.
And presumably, if you combine the roof data, which identifies the most likely roofing material for each building, with the heat emission data, if you've flown a heat survey, you can combine the two to get some insights into where insulation is working best and where it's not working best, for example.
Yeah, it's a really good shout, actually. And I think I mentioned there a few examples around net zero. Again, if you think about all of the roof data we've released, so we've released material, which we talked about a fair bit. We talked about solar there. We've also released the shape of the roof. So is it flat? Is it pitched? That kind of thing. The aspect, so which way is it facing? And equally, we've touched on green roofs and whether they exist. But if I think about shape and aspect, and then what you were just saying there, bring material in, you can start to use other data, because Ordnance Survey, we absolutely recognise, like, we don't aim to be the be-all and end-all. Like, we're trying to provide really good foundational data sets that other people can build on top of. So as you say, start to bring in new third-party data from other sources, and you can really start to understand performance of a building, as you've just said there, really good example. But I think you can also understand, like, how suitable is this building for net zero or carbon reduced sort of technologies. So have you got a roof that's facing in the right way, really, really good for solar PV? Is it a flat roof? So maybe you can introduce, like, you can shape your solar PV in different directions because you're not restricted by the pitch. All of those kinds of things. And you start to get a really good appreciation of the building itself without having to go and survey each one, right? Which is costly and very time consuming.
Absolutely. I can, yeah. And so you've got the roof material, you've got obviously the roof size, the pitch and angle, and the way it's facing. And is this all released as part of the NGD, or is it a separate thing?
Yeah, so yeah, really good question. So it is all part of the NGD. So what we know is the National Geographic Database. So this is sort of our latest product offer. It's been in the market now for just over 2 years. I think we'd all appreciate that's still pretty new for our market. Like our geospatial market does take a while to develop and adopt new data. So absolutely all part of the National Geographic Database. So depending on the people listening to this podcast, the way you sort of access that depends on who you're working for. So if you're a public sector customer, so local government, central government, blue light services, customers such as that, then Ordnance Surveys serve all of that sector via something called the Public Sector Geospatial Agreement. We know it's a PSGA.
Yeah.
So that agreement allows the public sector to get all of this new data that we're talking about directly from OS. And they do that via an online platform called the OS Data Hub. So it's all in there. Like you said, right at the top of this podcast, we released that a couple of weeks ago. Already seeing a really nice uptick, actually, in the amount of downloads and people starting to explore that already. And then on the flip side, just to cover that, so if you're not in the public sector, you've either got a group of our partners. So we've got many, many partners that sort of take this data to market. So our partners come and take this data from us, still in the NGD, as you asked, and then serve the commercial end market. But equally, if there's people out there, they might be the partner themselves, so in which case they come to us, or they might even be considering to become a partner. We're always expanding. We're always up for expanding our partner network, so it's absolutely something they can explore and sign up to, and then they can become a partner as well.
And there's also a developer program, isn't there?
There is, absolutely. So again, whether you're a partner, you can access that. So you can start testing our data, building in propositions, all under just an exploratory type license to see if the data works for you. And again, you can access sample data, that kind of thing. So we're really trying to nurture that startup, innovative type community. So yeah, there's sort of no charge there. Sample data is free. Exploration is free. Limited in its use, obviously. Like you can't use it in a commercial end solution in terms of fully fledged. But you absolutely can use it when you're developing those propositions. Like I say, understanding if the data works for your end customers or not. All of that is totally covered by that exploratory license.
So you've done this with 40 million roofs. There must be 10 billion roofs worldwide. Or whatever the number is, it doesn't matter. I mean, there's billions and billions of roofs worldwide. How difficult is it to extend this to other markets?
Yeah, and I guess you mean like other markets outside of GB?
Yes, outside of GB, other geographies.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. Like, I think, as we were sort of talking about earlier, some of the biggest challenges to get a really good, high-quality sort of output is investing the time and sort of effort into training those models, finding the variability, etc. And like I say, actually, it's quite surprising how much variability you get just in Great Britain.
Right.
So I think the challenges would be exactly that. Like, can you train a model to be good and accurate for what you would find is a really variable global world, right? I think that would be one of the challenges. The other one that would come to mind would generally be the imagery. So
you have to have.
To get the quality of output that we've got, obviously, depending on if you are happy as an end customer to lower quality, etc., then options might apply. But from the techniques that we're employing within Great Britain, we're relying on that good quality imagery data that we're flying to, and then that time and investment, like I say, in training those models. I'm sure more developed countries across the world will absolutely have similar good quality imagery, but obviously that won't apply for, as you say, I have no idea what the number is, but all 10 billion buildings kind of thing. There'll definitely be areas of the world that probably are relying on more satellite observation data.
So the aerial imagery that you're using is the same imagery that you fly every year to update building outlines, roads, curbs, all of that stuff, and all of the stuff that you're not physically surveying, you're using aerial imagery or aerial imagery is a major part of what you're using.
Yeah, exactly that. Exactly that. So yeah, you've nailed it right on the head there, Stephen. So yeah, as I said earlier, we sort of fly about 80,000 kilometers every year, and that flying program is really important to us. As you say, it allows us to identify buildings, roads, all of that kind of stuff. We still absolutely supplement that with our field surveyors, people that actually go out on the ground and further survey. But yeah, it's really important for us that we're sort of using the same imagery data that is driving the update of our national map, as we would know it, as you just said, and then using that again to define this roof data, because then it nicely ties in. So we know a building that's on our national map equally has the roof data that we've now passed through our machine learning databases and algorithms, and it's nicely synchronized. That's something we hear from our customers a lot, is really important to them. So for us, like I say, it's important to keep that synchronicity between the two.
Yeah. I mean, you want the roof sitting on top of the buildings, not offset by half a meter or something.
Yeah, absolutely. And equally just that, if you've got a building in our data, we're saying if we've flown the imagery for that, then we'll give you the roof ask or the roof attribution. So yeah, we're trying to be as synchronized.
And linking it to the unique identifier for that building as well.
Exactly. Exactly.
So you've done this, you've launched it. What's next?
Yeah, really great example. Well, question even. So I think what's excited me over the last 18, 24 months, the National Geographic Database, NGD, that we've talked about, has put OS in a position where currently we are releasing product updates every 6 months. Now, again, depending on the listeners and who's listening to this podcast, then either that sounds pretty normal to you every 6 months, or actually it sounds quite far advanced to you from maybe what Ordnance Survey's achieved in the past. So if I reflect on it from where OS has come, actually releasing really significant product launches every 6 months is a really big step forward.
I just want to interrupt you.
Yeah,
you're talking about new product. You're not talking about the continuous refresh to the existing product.
Exactly. Really good. Yeah, really good clarification. I am talking about, so the roof data that we launched in March, really great example, that didn't exist before March. That's brand new data, brand new attribution. So we're releasing brand new attribution, et cetera, every 6 months. You're right. Outside of that, we have a continuous update program. So new housing estate is built. We will go and capture the new housing estate to make sure all of our data is as accurate as it can be. That's totally aside. That's not what I would see as a product release. That is just us being really good at having a good current base map, if you like. Every 6 months we launch new things, new attribution. So that's really exciting because that means we can bring a lot of new things to the market. So we've just done this big release. So we're now sort of gearing up for sort of September time, which will be the sort of next release. Obviously, roadmaps stay fairly fluid. They're informed by a lot of our customers. And we'll flex and meet their needs as much as possible. But to give you a bit of an insight as to what's on our radar for this coming 6-12 months, then there's quite a big focus on that sort of transport space. So active travel remains quite a big topic area across both government and wider than that. So we're looking at things like identifying cycle lanes, bus lanes, and how well they're connected across urban and rural areas. So that's definitely in our sights. We're also looking at some new sort of contextual products. So how well do we provide those sort of visualization use cases, as I would call them, with the best maps possible. So we're sort of just exploring that. There's a few prototypes that we're building. So if people are sort of interested in that, then definitely reach out to Ordnance Survey across the summer, because there'll be some sample data in those spaces. And then really just continuing on our path of developing some of the buildings data. Again, there's a lot of interest around property. So how do we give the best view of that property to everybody, public sector or commercial, is definitely in our focus as well. So that's sort of our top three, if you like: property, transport, and sort of that contextual area.
I was listening to somebody talking about residential property in England and how the average age of our properties in the UK is older than almost anywhere in Europe. apparently because we've got lots of we had a massive building surge in the Victorian era and just after the just post, and so we got an enormous number of old buildings, and they're energy inefficient and they've got all sorts of problems with them. But if you live in one, as I do, for example, you're not minded to knock it down and build a brand new modern building. So I wonder, are you working on sort of construction design type things for buildings coming forward?
We started and we've done quite a lot of work in that space in our previous release.
Right.
So if you look at it last year, so sort of 2024 times, so March, September of last year, we released Building Age. So I didn't know that stat off the top of my head, Stephen, that you just quoted there about us being older than anywhere in the world. But we do
not
now,
anywhere in the world, but certainly Europe built a lot more.
Oh, Europe.
In Europe, we've got a relatively old housing stock. I think maybe the Dutch as well, but lots of other countries have got much newer average age of housing.
Yeah, really interesting. So yeah, we actually release building age as attribution against our buildings. So again, against those sort of buildings that we were talking about earlier last year. So you could actually, if you were using our data now, do that analysis of what's the average age, where's the old... Maybe there's certain regions with older properties and others. You could do that with our data, which would quite be an interesting project, actually, Stephen. Maybe one for somebody to look into. And at the same time, so we did building age, we did construction material. So again, what is that building made out of primarily? So is it a brick building? That would be your most prominent, right? But again, is it thinking about the office that I'm sat in? Is it made out of predominantly metal and glass or whatever else it might be? So construction material got added. And also whether the property had a basement or not. Right. So you can think of insurance, flood, those sort of type use cases, which companies wanted to know. So all of those three attributes, went live between 6 and 12 months ago. So all of those are also available in the National Geographic Database.
Okay. It's quite a change from when I started in the industry over 25 years ago and all we had was landline.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what really excites me, if I'm honest, Stephen. Like, again, even though maybe that's 25 years ago for you, if I think about when I joined Ordnance Survey 10 years ago, master map topography layer, absolutely still in the market today. I'm sure a lot of listeners know master map topography layer. Generally, all we tell you about a building in that is it's really precise location. That's really important, right? We go and survey to a really, really accurate level. But from an attribution analytical rich type scenario, there isn't a lot of detail in there other than it's a building, this is where it's located, this is its height. And like you say, now, given 2 years of the NGD being live, well, we probably haven't got long enough for me to list all of the attributes, obviously, this morning. But like I say, building age, construction material, all of the roof asks that we've talked about this morning, all of that is part of our building model now. So you can understand a lot more about the buildings across Great Britain. Like you say, what's their age? How risky are they from a fire or a flood perspective, etc. So really exciting.
Yeah, and also avoids the need to send people out to do simple inspections. Loads of things you can just identify from those attributes. So
I agree. And I think that's where a lot of the cost saving is. And even if it means certain people are still going out, they can identify the areas they really want to go and survey. So rather than, as you say, going out and having to go across vast regions to see if certain properties exist, they can now identify where they do exist. And maybe if they really need to go and have a more interested look or a detailed look, then they can do that. But at least they know where they need to go.
Yeah.
So that's really important.
Okay, Dean, so if people want to get in touch with you, how do they do that? How would they get hold of you or somebody from Ordnance Survey to find out more about the data?
I think to find out more, again, it probably depends on the company you're working for. So if you're in a public sector, absolutely reach out to Ordnance Survey. So you should have an account manager anyway. That if you know, then definitely reach out to your account manager. If you don't know who that is, then just reach out to our customer service center. So just come straight to OS and they can help you for sure. And they'll be more than willing to help you. If you are more commercial, then I'd absolutely suggest you reach out to one of our partners. Again, you might know some of those. If you know them, absolutely go to them directly. If you don't know maybe any partners or the best route in, then again, if you were to go on our OS website, you can find a list of all of our partners and sort of their speciality areas. So you can sort of pick and choose from that perspective. But we're always here to help. So like say, if anybody's having any difficulty or wants to know more, then you can definitely reach out to OS and we can guide you with that as well.
Dean, that's been fantastic. I'm really impressed by what you've managed to achieve. And having worked with a couple of people recently who are using NGD, I'm now starting to get why it's such an exciting new project for Ordnance Survey, because you can just keep piling in more and more attribute data. And what's fascinating is that different attributes will have value to different people, you know, so all sorts of people who wouldn't have used the data previously are discovering, oh, I could use it for that, or I could use it for this. And you don't have to take all the data, just the bit that you need. Thank you so much for being on the podcast this morning. It's been a pleasure talking to you. And let's try and get you to come to a GeoMob, maybe in London at some stage, and talk a bit more about roof data and stuff like that.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, and always willing. Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, let's make that a thing.
Thanks a lot. Take care.
Thank you very much. Bye.
Thanks for joining us today on the GeoMob podcast. We hope you enjoyed the discussion. You can get the show notes over on the website, which is at thegeomob.com. And while you're there, you can sign up for our monthly newsletter and find links to our accounts on Mastodon and LinkedIn, so that you can stay up to date on all our upcoming events. We hope to see you at an event soon.